I talked to you last week about being a difference maker and what that means. And I talked about how I wanted you to not make resolutions this year, but to set in your heart to make a difference this year, to make a difference. And the only way that we can truly make a difference for the Lord, and I'm not talking about doing community service. I'm not talking about just having a good attitude, but I'm talking about being a difference maker that comes from being changed by the power of God. We all can do good deeds. We all can smile. We all can do all those things that make life easier for others. But it's only a person that has a changed heart that can truly, truly represent the King of the universe. Today, and for the rest of this entire month, this whole sermon series is entitled Authenticity. This world is crying out for authentic Christianity. They look for it in all four corners of the world. They look for it everywhere they go. But I want to encourage you today to check your own heart, to check your heart, to check your spirit, to see if you have that right attitude, that you can be that difference maker, that you truly can be that authentic Christian. All this month we're going to be talking about evangelism, but I wanted to look at it in a different way. When you think about evangelism, everybody's hands start sweating. Everybody's heart starts racing, right? You start stuttering before you even talk to anybody. You think about street preachers. You think about street evangelism. You think about confrontation and all these different things. And yes, all those things have a place. But evangelism starts here. It starts with authenticity. I've entitled this series Authenticity because I want to approach evangelism from the inside out. What I mean by that is you can't have a heart for the lost until you have a heart for Him first. It all starts with an encounter, with a visitation from Jesus Himself. That song that we just sang and talked about How could we stand here in His presence without being changed? By the way, Lister wrote that song. But really, the thing is that we can't have a heart for the lost until we have a heart for Him, until we have an encounter with Him. Dana makes fun of me and calls me old because every once in a while when I see the Antique Roadshow come on, see, everybody that laughed, you do it too. You click on it. You click on it too. Don't lie. I get into it. You know, I'm looking at these things and, you know, they bring up their old stuff and stuff they had in the attic and whatever, and it's worth like $100,000, right? And if I brought in some kind of antique something that I had from my grandpa and they said it was worth $100,000, I would pass out. And then I'd get up shouting and jumping and screaming and running around. It'd be awesome. And say, where can I sell this thing at, right? But every once in a while, there's a person that comes in with something that is not genuine. Been passed down through generation after generation after generation, the same story told about it. Every generation, the same story has been told. But then it gets in the presence of the expert, the one that knows the genuine, the one that knows the true article. And he examines it carefully and he looks at it and he has to give them the news that I'm sorry, but it's not authentic. It's not real. You're talking about a bummer. Man, that is a bummer. And what happens is that Jesus is our authenticator, all right? He's the one that we bring things to, and He makes sure that it's the real deal. We'll be brought before His presence, and our works will either burn up or it'll be refined in His presence. This world, this generation, your family, your friend, your coworker, your church is looking for the genuine, the real deal. This world is looking for it. It's screaming for it. But it's looking more than just your church. It's looking for more than just your church address. It's looking for more than just your church attendance. This world is looking for the genuine article, the real deal. And the only way people are going to find it is through a person who has been truly transformed by the blood of Christ, who has been in an encounter with Jesus Himself. You know that moment. You remember that moment. That moment that you truly encountered Christ for the very first time. And all of a sudden, your sin melted away. There was no remnant. There's no sense. There's no there's no sign of your past left. Everything has been made new. You look through the world through those rose-colored glasses, right, where everything has been made new. That moment, we are changed forever. That moment, we have a story to tell. That moment, we have the genuine article. Because we've been transformed. We've been made new. We've been made whole by the presence of Christ Himself. Now, this world has had its belly full of the counterfeit and seen plenty of people who, according to 1 Timothy 3:5, have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. What does that mean, a form of godliness? That means that they've got all the religious lingo down. They've got it down. They know when to kneel. They know when to stand up. They know when to light that candle. They know when to sing. They know when to give. They know when to do this and that and the other. You know what? Cattle can do the same thing. Right? They do the same thing. And they do it because it's mindless. They do it because they do it all the time. It's every day. It's what they do. And Pastor Johnny talked about that just a minute ago. God, forgive us for treating the holy things as common. Forgive us for treating those holy things when we are supposed to be standing in awe in the presence of God. Forgive us, Lord, for singing words that we don't mean. It's important that everything about evangelism, everything about our relationship with Christ, every word that we have originates from a changed heart. Not from a changed will, not from emotion, not from circumstance, but a changed heart. You ever done something half-hearted before? How'd that work out for you? Doesn't work out at all. You go through life half-heartedly. You go through relationships half-heartedly. You go through marriage half-heartedly. You go through your workday half-heartedly. And that rubs off on other people. That means you're not giving your best. That means you're not totally in it. You're not sold out in it. You look at a sports team. This is the playoffs, right? There's not supposed to be any half-heartedness in the playoffs. You're all in. And you can tell if there's an athlete that is just out there and just meandering around and not what he's doing, what he's supposed to be doing. He's being half-hearted. And in our walk with Christ, it's the exact same thing. Our family can tell. Our coworkers can tell. Everybody can tell but us. That's why it's important that we examine our hearts. The Bible doesn't say let your pastor examine your heart. The Bible doesn't say let your friends examine your heart. The Bible is very explicit about our own responsibility. It says that we should examine our own heart. The Bible says that the heart is the wellspring of life. Everything begins and ends with your heart. When a woman goes into her first prenatal visit, one of the first things they do is they check for the heartbeat. Because they know that's the sign of life. When your days are done, the coroner comes in or the doctor comes in and he examines your heart. to see if there's life. Everything begins and ends with your heart. And the Bible says that your heart is the wellspring of life. It is the very beginning and the reason why we want to evangelize in the first place. And by the way, evangelism, each and every person in this room is an evangelist if you're a believer. You're preaching a sermon every day. By the way you talk, by the way you walk, by what you see, by what you put in your head, by that way you speak to your coworkers, to your fiance, to your wife, your husband, your children, and so forth. It's important that our heart be the first place that we begin to look. Are we truly and authentically real Christian? Because evangelism starts right there. Before we talk about the world, before we talk about our community, before we talk about the lost, this has got to be right first. Otherwise, what are we giving? What are we portraying? What are we giving to everybody around us? Are we giving them the genuine article? Are we giving them something real, tangible? Are we giving them a sermon that is wrought with lies and half-truths? Evangelism starts here, inside of each and every one of us. That's where it starts. Before we can have a heart for the lost and the world, we first have to have our heart changed and touched by Him first. So let's look at this word real, R-E-A-L. I'm going to use this word as an acronym throughout this entire series. So let's look at the letter R. R stands for righteous life. Just over 100 years ago, a French nobleman visited America. Upon his return, he wrote this about his trip. He said, "I sought for the greatness of America in her harbors and rivers, her fertile fields, her mines and commerce, but it wasn't there. Not until I went into the churches and heard her pulpits thunder with righteousness did I understand the greatness of her power. America is great because she is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." If this dignitary from France was to visit America today, I'm sure he would not be able to make the same comment. Christians and churches must be on the front lines when it comes to living a righteous life. If not us, then who, church? If not now in this generation, then when? We're not put on this earth to float around in a breeze, carried around to and fro. God has given us explicit instructions on what we are to be about in our life. We are to be ambassadors, representatives of Christ and His suffering, His resurrection, and His redemptive power here on earth. And that's a tall order, I'll grant it. The apostles thought so, but yet they, with 12 of them, they changed the world, flipped it upside down. Why? Because they had an encounter with the Savior that changed them forever. Their hearts were never the same. Did they falter? You better believe they faltered. But in the course of their life, their song, their sermon of their life was Jesus and Him crucified. Paul came and he said, "Listen, I didn't come to you with eloquence of word. I didn't come to you with all kinds of eloquence in my sermons." He didn't say anything. He said, "But I came with trembling lips, with a demonstration of power." What is Paul saying there? He's saying, "I didn't come just spouting off words, but I demonstrated to you a changed heart within inside of me." And that changed heart changed the culture in which he lived in. Paul ultimately gave his life for the gospel, for the cause of Christ, but he never faltered. And the reason why is because his heart was changed It was forever changed. Because he was real and genuine. It wasn't fake. He wasn't trying to pass his life off as some holier-than-thou person. But his heart was changed because of an encounter that he had with Jesus. Paul literally was knocked off his high horse by Jesus himself. I think history has proven we need authentic Christians to stand up and live a righteous life. So many people think that a righteous life is not something that they can attain because of the background in which they have come from. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Each and every one of us has got struggles in our life. Each and every one of us has failed God so many times, we wonder how God can put up with our double-mindedness. But yet His grace is sufficient for us. His grace is sufficient for us. God has set a standard for us. And that standard can't be met by our own understanding and our own hands and our own mentality and our own efforts. Paul tells us that we have been called to a righteous life. Living a righteous life starts with the condition of our hearts. That's why Paul told the Ephesians to put on the breastplate of righteousness. The purpose of the breastplate is to protect the major organs of the body, to protect the heart when you're going in to battle. Because in the day we live in, there are plenty of ways the devil is going to come in and try to create chaos, try to steal away what God has planted within our heart. That's why we have to guard ourselves, guard our heart, for it is the wellspring of life, to put on the breastplate of righteousness. And this breastplate of righteousness wasn't forged by any man. It wasn't forged on earth. It was forged in heaven by His Son Jesus that has now been made available to us through His blood. We now have a righteousness that is not our own, but is originated from Christ Himself. And so when we put this on, we know that we're going to engage the enemy. We don't go looking for the enemy, but we know that in our life we're going to have trouble. We know that in our life the enemy will engage us. And when that engagement happens, we better have something on that is stronger than what was made by man's hands. We need that breastplate of righteousness to extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy, because they're coming, church. Amen? So let's look at what a righteousness that originates from us looks like. Isaiah 64:6 says this: "Our righteousness is as filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind, our sins sweep us away." We need more than filthy rags to protect us from the constant attack of the enemy. We need His breastplate of righteousness to cover us. Don't go into battle dressed like a pauper. Go into battle dressed like a prince. Go into battle ready to engage the enemy. Ready to engage the enemy, not with our own hands, but with the righteous life that is originated from heaven, that has been sent by His Son Jesus to empower us to be more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Amen? So what is righteousness anyway? Simply defined, it's this: it's without sin. So if we stop the sermon right here, all of us are disqualified. Let's just go home. Let's just be done. Because I'm not without sin. I'm not without shortcomings. I'm not without flaws or temptations. I'm guilty of all of it. There's no hope for me. There's no hope for you, right? So righteousness in its simplest definition is without sin. This was said about Jesus. We know that he was without sin. He was tempted in every way, but he was without sin. So what about us? Where does our hope lie? We who are prone to wonder, right? When Paul was instructing the church in Ephesus about the importance of living a righteous life, he said, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do." Notice Paul said, "I insist on it." He didn't say, "I implore you." He didn't say, I beg of you. He didn't say, "It might be good if you." He said, "I insist on it." Righteousness is not an option. It is a must for all believers. Paul said, "So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord that you must no longer live as Gentiles do." What is he saying? He's saying that when you have come to Christ, when your sins have been forgiven, that there must be change in your life. You no longer react to situations that like you used to. You no longer react to those mountains like you used to. You have a different attitude. You have a different mindset. You have peace that did not originate with you, but originated from the Father. A peace that surpasses all understanding, a strength that is not your own. That's what we're after here today, not perfection. So let's look at some of the elements of righteousness. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." The process of renewing our minds involves an establishing new convictions in our life. As we expose ourselves to the Word of God, as we allow the Holy Spirit to rule our lives, our minds will be transformed. But these convictions, they're developed over time. It's precept upon precept. It's truth after truth. It's as God reveals revelation to you, you are accountable for that revelation. You allow that revelation to change you, to motivate you, and to direct you. But we get it wrong. We think that once we've become a Christian, that everything's supposed to be perfect, that we're not supposed to make any mistakes. But we're hopelessly flawed, church. Can I get everybody to say amen? We're hopelessly flawed. That's why we need the grace of God in our life, because His grace covers our sins. It annihilates our sins. His grace is for you. His grace is for me. That's how we live a righteous life. We can't do it by our good deeds only. We know thousands of years and thousands of people have tried to do it by their good deeds only, and we know that that falls short. Good deeds are a product of a changed heart. Good deeds are a product of a person that has encountered Christ Himself, who has been changed by Christ Himself. We need to understand that we can no longer conform any longer to the patterns of this world. That means that we have got to make a conscious decision, a willful decision, to turn the other way. You know, when I was a kid, my mother, she used to make shorts and stuff like that for me. And there was a pattern. She would buy a pattern at Walmart. She'd go to Walmart. It's their pattern for shorts. She'd buy that pattern and then put the cloth down, cut it out, and then sew it up, and there's my Bahama shorts, all right? So there was a pattern in which she had to go by. For us as believers, there is a mandate upon our life. There is a pattern in which we must go by, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is the light for us. It shines the truth in a dark world, amen? When we are confused, the Word of God brings clarity. It brings purpose. and it brings direction. Never make decisions based on confusion in your life. Amen? Make sure that your steps are ordered of the Lord and directed by Him. So, yielding to our convictions is the way we are transformed in our minds. This is where righteousness begins. A conviction is not a conviction until you live by what you claim to believe. If you have a conviction, then live by it. But let your convictions be based on the Word of God. Titus 2, 11 through 12 says this, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age." Titus says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all of us." It is a teacher to us. It teaches us to say no to ungodly passions. It teaches us to live a self-controlled, upright, godly lifestyle, to live a righteous lifestyle. It is the grace of God that sustains us. So what does the grace of God imply? If we need the grace of God, then what is it implying? That failure is the part of the process. That you're going to fail. You're going to biff it. You're going to take a digger. It's part of it. If you don't have scraped knees and scraped elbows, if you don't have scars on your body, if you don't have those scars as a believer, I would say you're not a believer at all. Can I get a witness this morning? Because when you're advancing ground that the enemy has taken in your life, and when you're taking that back, you are engaging an enemy that is out to steal, kill, and destroy everything that God has established in your life. And because of it, you're going to fall. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to have heartache. You're going to feel like that this is too hard. I don't want to do this anymore. You feel like those fiery darts of the enemy is piercing those dirty rags, as the Bible says, that we have. It's at that moment that we need to put on that breastplate of righteousness so that it shields and protects our heart. It's important that we understand that we have got to lean upon the grace of God, because it's the grace of God that brings salvation to us all. And so the grace of God implies that we're going to fail, and failure is part of the process. Don't be afraid to fail. I said Thursday night at small group, I said, if you're going to fall, at least fall forward. Right? At least you're advancing in your failure. And while you're down, pick something up. Make yourself useful while you're down. Learn while you're down. While you're down, don't blame somebody else for your failure. But call out to God and say, "Lord, I biffed it. I totally missed it. And I need your grace. God, will you give me your grace? Teach me to do better. Give me strength in my failures, Lord, and in my weakness, Lord. According to your word, I've made strong, so would you strengthen me right now, Lord? Forgive me of my sin." You know what? Something miraculous happens, church. He forgives you. He doesn't remember your sin anymore. He forgives you. You know who is an expert at remembering your sin? You. You are. It hinders us. It holds us back. We need to understand that when Christ forgave us, He threw our sins as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. That we no longer have to be defined by our sin, but now we are capable of living a righteous, real, authentic lifestyle with a changed heart, with a renewed attitude, with the breastplate of righteousness firmly fashioned to ourselves, so that we are fully and ably equipped to advance on the enemy. We throw away our filthy rags, We pick up that breastplate of righteousness that did not originate with us, but came straight from the Father, so that we could live this righteous life that He requires. Amen? Church, I want to encourage you this morning to keep pushing forward, because the grace of God is there to bring forgiveness and strength for those who are reaching and striving for righteousness. The choices we make on a daily basis will make or break our authentic Christian life. In Romans chapter 13, Paul tells us to put to death the misdeeds of the body. What's he talking about? He's talking about the pattern that we have set for ourselves. That means that we have got to show self-control. That's why if you have habits in your life and you've tried to stop those habits, whether it be a bad attitude or always looking at things in a negative light, or maybe some kind of bad habit that only you know about, and you need help, the person that you call out to isn't Pastor Jimmy. The person you reach for first is Christ Himself. Because it's He that died for your sins, that He that died so that you could be an overcomer. Now, will I point you to Him? Will I pray with you? You better believe I will. I'll be right there beside you, but I can't do it for you. This righteous life that God has required for all of us to live is up to us to do it. I can't do it for you. It's decisions that we have to make by ourselves to say, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done in my life. The question is, lastly, is how in the world do we do all of this? How do we live a righteous, authentic life? How do we live this authentic life that Christ wants us to have? How do we become righteous? How do we do all of this? Well, to tie it up in a bow, it's this: by being dependent upon the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not some tagline at the end of a prayer. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is the one that Jesus said to His disciples. He said, I have to go away in order that the Comforter may come, who is the Holy Spirit. Jesus thought it was so important for Him to leave so that the Holy Spirit could come. He thought it was so important, so He was compelled to go. And He said, there's going to be a one that comes after me, that's going to empower you, that's going to embolden you, that's going to give you the tools to live this righteous life. And that is the Holy Spirit. If we are going to live an authentic Christian life, we need to be real. Not perfect, but R-E-A-L. Real. Not afraid to show people the hurts and the bumps and the bruises. Not afraid to give a testimony about God's faithfulness. That I was once completely lost. I was once completely caught up in pornography. And God brought me out of that and restored me and gave me a completely new mind, a completely new heart. I was caught up in drugs. I was caught up in addiction. But God brought me out of that. And I want to show you my scars. I want to show you my wounds, because it's in those wounds that you see the righteousness of Christ. It's in those wounds that you see the healing, the salvation, the forgiveness, the grace of God in the wounds and the scars. If you haven't gotten your scars yet, if you haven't got your bumps and bruises, then I encourage you to put on that breastplate of righteousness and go get your scars. Don't be afraid to put them on public display, because we know that Christ is light, and in Him there can be no darkness. And so Jesus Himself expels darkness, amen? That's why we expose our sin to Him, because He's not going to condemn us. He's going to forgive us and then lift us up out of it. No longer to be ashamed of where we've come from, or what we've done, or what our past may be. But we know that we're redeemed because He has set us free, and He has healed us, and He has brought us out of the guilt and the shame and the condemnation. Amen? This is the righteous life that Paul is talking about. This is the authentic, real, genuine, R-E-A-L article. Amen? When Jesus comes in to authenticate our life, I want it to be said of us that we were faithful, that we leaned upon Him, that we trusted, and that we were faithful. Being dependent upon the Holy Spirit is what Christ has commended us to do. We need to be real. The first step is a righteous lifestyle. Say no to the things of our former self and say yes to the things of God. So evangelism starts, it starts with us first. That's where it starts. We can't go out and have a heart for the lost until we have first had a heart for Him, until we have become a lover of His soul, like He is a lover of our soul. So this morning, let's get our hearts right first and make a righteous lifestyle a priority. Let's start first with Him. Let's don't start with our schemes. Let's don't start with our plans. Let's don't start with our agenda. Let's don't start with a six-month evangelism push. Let's start first with Him. Let's get a heart for Christ first, and then He'll give us a heart for humanity second. Amen? Let's all stand this morning. And I know we're doing things a little bit different, but that's okay. Hey, look, church is supposed to have a little bit of unpredictability part of it, right? That's okay. But this morning, oh, Pastor Johnny, the word that he gave concerning getting our heart right, Pastor Gerald was on the same line. And then the word that I spoke today all deals with being authentic, being real. This world has seen the fake. They've seen it many, many times. They want what's real. They want the genuine. They're not looking for perfection. They're looking for the real deal. Somebody that not only talks the talk, but walks the walk. A person that strives toward righteousness. A righteous lifestyle. Church, it is attainable for you. You are, if you were born again, if Christ lives in your life, if you have surrendered your life to Him, then you are the righteousness of God according to the Scripture. You are. Now, you don't believe that because, well, you've never been referred to as that before. Never seen yourself as the righteousness of God. You never seen yourself as the way Christ sees you. And the only way you can truly see that is through repentance. Getting your heart where it needs to be before the Lord. This morning, I want us to spend time around the altar today. And I want us to come before the Lord and bring what is left of our hearts. Bring all our hurts and our failures. Bring our disappointments. Bring all of that. Maybe we need to repent this morning. I don't know. I can't see your heart. But I know the Lord does. If we want to talk about evangelism this morning, it needs to start here. Or otherwise, it's going to be a program. Otherwise, it's just going to be some other religious thing that we've got to do. But evangelism starts here. It's about getting our heart right before the Father so that He can fill our heart with the love He has for our neighbor. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. If you've never been to the altar before, it is a beautiful, wonderful place. where you meet the Lord, where repentance flows, and where lives are restored. This morning, I want to encourage you to come around all this altar, all this area up here. If you can't kneel, understand, sit where you're at. But I want to invite each and every one of you to come this morning. The invitation is open. Come this morning. Church, let's look at our hearts. Let's examine our ways. And let's ask the Father to renew us today. Amen. Don't say, I don't need it. Don't say, it's not for me. If you've never done it, do it right now. Come this morning. And let's kneel before the Father. And let's make our hearts right before Him today. If the altars are full up here, turn around to the front rows right here and kneel right there. But come this morning. Come as we pray. If you want to pray right where you're at, fine, do that. Lord, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we ask that you would start here, Lord. Start with me. Before you start with my church, before you start with the city, before you start anywhere else, Lord, start here in my heart. God, I pray that you would forgive my rebellious heart, Lord. Lord, for so long I hear your voice telling me to draw closer, to come closer. And Lord, I've resisted. Forgive me, Lord. I relinquish control. Lord, I don't want to invite you just in my heart. I yield my life to your lordship. Forgive me, Father, for my rebellious heart. Lord, I pray that you would change my attitude. My attitude is wrong, Lord. And I need you to soften my heart again. I need you to restore unto me the joy of my salvation. I need you to renew me and bring peace into my life that cannot come from me. I've tried, Lord. I've tried all kinds of different ways to bring peace, but nothing satisfies. And so, Lord, today, with tears in my eyes, I pray for your forgiveness. Set a right attitude within me, Lord. Renew my heart today. Father, there's blockages in my life that is causing me to not live that righteous life that you have commanded of me. And Lord, I ask that you would snuff out all of those things, Lord. Lord, forgive me for allowing these things into my life. Help me to take control back so that my heart may be real, so that my heart may be authentic, and so that it will be authenticated by you, Lord Jesus. Renew a right spirit within me today. Renew my heart today. Father, may I be transformed by the renewing of my mind. May you bring peace to me today. Renew me, Lord. Father, may I begin to know your heart once again. May I feel the passion of your love for my soul again. May my heart be purely only for you, God. I abandon all other lovers in my life. And I gather the broken pieces of my heart and my life again, and I offer them to you. And Lord, if you're willing, would you restore my heart? Would you renew my mind? Would you set a right spirit within me, Father? May I hunger and thirst for righteousness again, because your word clearly says and promises that I will be filled. And so renew my hunger, Lord. Would you empty me out of everything that is me? Would you empty out all other earthly pursuits? Would you empty me out of myself? Would you empty me of selfishness and self-righteousness? And God, would you fill me full of your Spirit again? Lord, may I be meek and humble. May my attitude reflect your glory. God, forgive me for this insatiable appetite of having to be right at the expense of everybody else. God, renew my heart. Revive this cold, broken heart. Renew a right spirit within me, Lord. Father, help me to see the hurting all around me. May that new heart, may that heart that is bright red, that is beating because of your touch, may it now stretch to my neighbors. May it stretch to my coworkers. May it stretch to my house. May I renew relationships in my own house. May I evangelize my own house. Humble me, Lord, to do that task. Be with me, Holy Spirit, to empower me to do something I was never, ever capable of doing on my own. Because my rebellious heart forbid me to. So Lord, today, this morning, I own up. I own up, Lord. Would you renew a right spirit within me? Would you create inside of me a new heart, a transformed heart, a heart that only beats for you? May there be no more lovers in my life, Lord. May there forever be no more takers of what you have implanted in my spirit, Lord. May I be diligent in arming myself with the breastplate of righteousness so that I can stand against the wiles of the enemy, the schemes of the enemy. Oh, Father, change my heart. Oh, would you renew my soul? Maybe there's somebody here today that you don't know Christ. You don't even know where to begin. You're feeling the Holy Spirit for the first time tugging at you, and you don't know what to do with it. The Bible says that for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that he that repents of his sins they will be saved. If you believe on Him, you confess your sins, He will forgive you. But you would not perish, but you would have everlasting life. So it starts with repentance. And if that's you today, right where you're at, in your spirit, with you standing before Christ as we sang this morning, doing business with the Father. And it goes like this, Lord, I don't know you. I've read about you, I've heard about you, but I don't know you. And I feel you drawing me, and I repent of my sin. I am sinful, Lord. And today, I trust you with my sin. I trust that you forgive me of my sin. Lord, will you empower me to serve you? I relinquish control of my life, and I give it to you. Would you renew me today? Would you give me a new heart today? In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord. I pray, not just individually, but now, Father, I pray corporately, us as a church, New Freedom Church. My Lord, would you give us a heart for the lost? Would you give us, oh Jesus, Would you give us a heart for those that are broken? Would you give us a heart, Lord, for those that are desperate? Would you give us a heart for those that are desperate, Lord, that are broken, that are without hope? Would you give us a heart for those? Would you give us a heart for the least of these? Would you help us to not consider ourselves first? Give us a heart, Lord, for those that are hurting. Give us a heart for those that seem to be happy, that seem to have everything together, but yet they're without you. Lord, give us a heart. Give us a heart. Help us, Father, through this 2016 and beyond to be solely devoted. Solely devoted on being lovers of your heart, so that we as a church can seek and to save that which is lost. Give us a heart for our community, Lord. Give us a heart for those family members that we have deemed unforgivable. Completely lost. Change our hearts toward our family. Change our hearts toward our co-workers that we can't stand, Lord. Give us a heart, Lord. Give us a heart corporately as a church. May this church's heartbeat be the salvation of the lost. May the healing of the broken. We know, Father, that you, Lord Jesus, you went to the outcast. You went to the dogs of society. You had supper with them. You loved on them and you healed them. You touched them. You embraced them as your own. Lord, teach us to do that. As we have opportunity, Lord, teach us to do that. But Lord, let us be led by a heart that has been transformed by you. A real, authentic, genuine relationship with you. Help us, Father, to live a righteous lifestyle that originates and is empowered by you. Lord, we cut ties with who we were. And Lord, we say you are our lifeline. In you we live and move. We have our being. If you are not who you say you are, then we are completely bankrupt. And so, Lord, today, renew our hearts today. Would you renew our hearts today, Father? Would you bring newness? Would you bring a right spirit within us today? In the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Would you just enter into a time of thanksgiving this morning? Father, we come before you and we say thank you. With thanksgiving in our hearts, with tears flowing down our face, we say thank you. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the salvation that has appeared unto all men, teaching us, empowering us to be overcomers, to live a righteous lifestyle. Lord, we thank you. We give thanks to you, Lord Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We say thank you. Thank you for renewing our minds today, Lord. Thank you for renewing our hearts. Thank you for renewing our spirit today. Oh, Lord Jesus, we say thank you. Can you say that this morning, church? Just tell them thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for renewing me today. God, my heart had grown cold, but today You have renewed my life. You have transformed my life. Help me to forever be engrafted into the true vine. Because, Lord, I know that's where my life and where my love and where my compassion flows. It's through you. Your word says that you are the vine and we are the branches. He said, in me, without me, you can do nothing. And so, Lord, we choose to stay engrafted in you today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, church, it's through a renewed mind and a forgiven heart that we can even praise God in the first place. Amen? It's because of His forgiveness, it's because of His grace that we have any reason at all to celebrate, to clap our hands, to raise our hands, to get emotional. It's all because of what He has done. He has truly, truly saved our soul, given us a reason to sing, given us a reason to celebrate, all because what Christ Jesus has done for us. Amen? Amen. Guys, let's give God a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Guys, remember this as Pastor Johnny comes. Remember this. Evangelism, it starts right here. It doesn't start out in the streets. It doesn't start in our homes. Church, it starts right here first. If this is not right, nothing else will be right as well. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for your power, for your authority, for your anointing. And Lord, we thank you that you have given us the ability to live a righteous life, not based on our own merits, not based on what our hands can do, not based on our own understanding, but based on your grace and your forgiveness and your lordship over our life. Today, we celebrate what you have done in our life and in our heart. We pray this in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.